Oh, thank you so much, Bliss. Yes, I'm here at the piano in our WRTI performance studio with cellist Timotas Petrin. Tim, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me at your studio.
And I'm so excited. You are here in Philadelphia to give your Philadelphia debut for Astral Artists.
Right.
And you brought some excerpts from that wonderful program to play for us today.
Yes.
What would you like to start with?
Well, the first piece is the first movement of the Claude Debussy Sonata for Cello and Piano. It is a really beautiful piece that has so many colors, ranging from Spanish modes to modal tones of ancient Greece, where I'm from, and Rome. And I hope you will enjoy the first movement of the sonata.
Let's try it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, gorgeous. That was absolutely beautiful playing. I'm in the performance studio, if you're just joining us, with cellist Timotas Petrin, and we've just performed the first movement of Debussy's Sonata for Cello and Piano. It was a very late work of Debussy's.
Right. He wrote it right before his death. He was planning to write six sonatas of various instrumentation. He managed to complete three of them, one for violin, one for cello, and one for viola, flute, and harp. And this late work combines so many colors in such a short period of time. The sonata is only 10 minutes long, but when you play it through, you have a feeling that you've been through everything, because there are so many colors and textures and elements that Debussy puts in. And it is quite incredible how he did that, actually.
It is really amazing. And you brought out so many colors in your beautiful cello, which we'll talk about in just a moment. And this is part of your program for Astral Artists this coming Sunday.
Right.
And that will be at Benjamin Franklin Hall at the American Philosophical Society right here in Philadelphia. And
yes,
if people want to get tickets, they can just...
They can visit Astral's website, mm-hmm, and purchase the tickets from there, or they could easily walk in to the Benjamin Hall and Benjamin Franklin Hall, and then they can purchase the tickets there.
Oh, wonderful. And we're going to be playing some more music from your program in just a little bit.
Yeah.
You come from Greece, from Thessaloniki.
Yeah.
And what was it like growing up there as a young musician?
For me, it was a great experience, because it's so beautiful, of course, and there's so much history in Greece in general, and you have a feeling that everything has started from there, even music in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Much of what we know now in classical music is a result of the Renaissance, which was actually based on ancient Greek notions of, mm-hmm, beauty and structure. And I think it was quite useful, I guess, to be in a country where everything has started.
Yes, the beginning of
Western civilization,
as
yeah,
they say.
Yeah.
Now, was it difficult at all to go from Greece and then make your way here to the United States to study and to work where you're living now?
Right. It was, of course, there were many difficulties. First of all, a different culture, I mean, different people, different mentality. But on the other hand, I got very... used to everything, thanks to Curtis, because, mm-hmm, I entered the Curtis Institute, and Curtis is such a very special school that pays attention to every single student and helps every single student in every way to be feeling comfortable and have a good time in the start of their studies there. So I'm very thankful to them, because it was quite easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I still get used to some things,
mm-hmm,
but I keep learning, learning everything around me. And but Curtis made it much easier, I think. Yeah,
that's terrific. Now, I know that you're also a painter,
yeah,
and I would love to hear more about that. Have you painted all your life?
Yeah, well, painting was part of my life since I was a young kid. I enjoyed so much painting in my free time throughout my teenage years. And I remember I was so obsessed with actually copying paintings I saw around and make them look as realistic as possible. And then I started creating my own works with oil painting.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to really get inspired by music. My late works are based on music for either cello or even larger works. I listen to music and I imagine of an image. I start thinking of shapes and colors or ideas. And when I have free time, if I have free time and inspiration, I sit and paint. And it is a nice way to spend my time, my free time.
Yeah. And if people want to see your paintings, they can follow you on Instagram, you say?
Instagram or Facebook.
Facebook.
Yes.
Okay.
And most of my paintings are there.
We'll post that on our website later so they can see your paintings as well. Now, how would you describe painting-wise this next piece that we're going to play? Set the stage for us.
Right. Stravinsky. Stravinsky Suite Italiane is a joyful piece, so I guess a light red, orange, or even yellow. Yeah, yellow colors. It is basically based on a ballet by Stravinsky named Pulcinella. And Piatigorsky made an arrangement of that piece for cello and piano. Without the permission of Stravinsky first. Yeah, and then my teacher who studied with Piatigorsky told me a story that once Piatigorsky was at a party in Los Angeles and Stravinsky was there, and Stravinsky was quite not offended, but he said, "Grisha, you made an arrangement without my permission." And then he said, I need 30% of the royalties. because Stravinsky was big on money. And later in his life, he got a present from his friends, a shirt with his initials, I and S, but made as a dollar sign.
As a dollar sign.
Which was quite funny.
Very funny.
Yeah.
And there's some movements of humor in this piece that we're going to play.
Right. The first movement is an introduction, which is a very joyous opening to the whole suite. And the second movement is a serenade, which has a sad color and timbre, but not the sentimental sad. It is more strict in a way and very simple writing, very neoclassical, based on the modes and elements that were left behind by Mozart or Haydn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very, very good piece to play, and I'm happy to play it here.
Let's try it. Yeah. So the first two movements of the Suite Italienne by Igor Stravinsky.
Thank you.
Beautiful. If you're just joining us, we are in the WRTI Performance Studio, and I've just performed with cellist Timotas Petrin the first two movements of Stravinsky's Suite Italienne. It's hard to believe that this is the same composer who wrote Rite of Spring.
Right. Stravinsky, I think, is one of the composers that had so many phases in his career. I mean, his writing is changing throughout all the span of his life, starting from Firebird, which is so inspired by Debussy, and then going to Rite of Spring, and then he was so much interested in neoclassical writing, the simplistic, the humorous, the lyrical sometimes. It is just remarkable how much you can find in his music.
Absolutely, purely gorgeous. And that was a beautiful performance, Tim. Thank you so much for playing that with me.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you how you created that effect on the cello, where in the serenade, the repeated notes.
Right. So it is throwing the bow on the string, creating some sort of percussive element and sound. It is actually quite interesting and very effective because it correlates to the piano part and it sets some sort of mood.
It's a very unusual sound. And
yeah.
In general, the cello that you're playing has a huge range of color, and we were talking about color with you as a painter. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about your instrument? It looks old.
It is old. We actually don't know the maker.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the maker because the label inside is not precise and it's not authentic, I think. But we estimate that it was made around 1730, in the 1730s, and made by a Venetian maker because the shape of the instrument and the color suggests that it was made in Venice.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a really great instrument to play on. It has a very warm sound, and I think it's one of the best instruments I've been playing.
Describe what it must be like, feel like, to play on a cello that has been around for so many years and that just fits right for you.
Right. Well, it is a very strange feeling because you know how many people have played on this instrument before,
mm-hmm.
like hundreds probably.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a part of history, I would say. Like, these instruments go through so much, and it is like holding a part of history with you, and playing on this instrument is just a bliss, I think. Yeah.
And if people would like to hear more of this instrument, they can come to your recital on Sunday at 3 o'clock at the American Philosophical Society, Benjamin Franklin Hall, to hear your entire program.
Yeah.
I think we're going to end with something that you said would be very fun to play.
Right.
So.
The last movement of the Valentini Sonata. Valentini is not very well known nowadays, but he was actually a very good composer for harpsichord, and this piece is actually originally composed for harpsichord, but Alfredo Piatti, virtuoso cellist of the 19th century, made an arrangement for cello and piano. It is a very open-hearted, light and virtuosic cello piece, showpiece, I would say, and I hope you enjoy.
Great. Let's give it a try.
Thank you.
Bravo.
Thank you so much.
That was wonderful. Thank you so much, Tim. We have been in the performance studio with cellist Timotas Petrin, who will be giving his Astral Artist debut this coming Sunday, Benjamin Franklin Hall in Philadelphia at the American Philosophical Society. Please run out and hear him. He is an absolutely wonderful cellist with a great program. And just again, if people want to see you and follow you on Instagram, how can they do that with your paintings and your musical career?
Just follow me on Facebook, Timotas Petrin, or Instagram, and you'll see all the details and everything I do in the next year.
Great, wonderful. So many wonderful events coming up, and especially this coming Sunday. Best of luck, Tim, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Back to you, Bliss.